You're listening to AWW Radio, the podcast of American Women's Wrestling. What is up, wrestling friends? Welcome to AWW Radio. I'm your host, Derek Lewandowski, and I'm still down here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area after the Olympic trials. And wow, what a weekend of wrestling. What a couple days at the Dickies Arena to watch these women compete for the Olympic spots, to see these dreams on the line. I mean, the high highs and the low lows were just palpable. You know, just, I mean, you know that these women have all worked for this moment. And for some of them, literally their dream came down to a moment. It came down to a sequence. It came down to a certain, you know, situation in a match, or how it was called, or whether or not they were able to finish a position. And, you know, I think on that final night, you know, I think I teared up five or six times just thinking about that and watching that and watching the stories play out. It was amazing. It was amazing to be there. You know, I was in media row with, you know, some of the other women's outlets, Gabby Lord-Klein, you know, from Transition Wrestling, and Lara and Arthur Hinojosa from Reaper Wrestling. And we had our photographer there, Dan Glenn. We were all up there in section 110, and it was overwhelming at times. There just being so many good matches happening at the same time in the women's and the men's divisions. You know, for wrestling fans, it was certainly a wrestling fan's dream. But it was awesome to be there. You know, at times the atmosphere was electrifying. There were some, you know, really memorable moments. What I want to do is just, I want to start with the finals and just go through, you know, my observation on the finals, some of the things, you know, that I saw, some of the things that happened. And then maybe we'll go back through some of the brackets and look at some of the things that happened, you know, in the challenge tournament, you know, leading up to that. I want to start by talking about one of the biggest stories at the Olympic team trials, and that is the return of Helen Maroulis at 57 kilos. You know, I don't think Helen's story is a secret to anybody who follows women's wrestling or wrestling in general. Matter of fact, there were media companies and media outlets there just covering Helen Maroulis and doing documentaries on just her. You know, she's a legend. You know, after what she did in 2016, you know, beating Yoshida for the gold medal, and then in 2018 having that traumatic head injury that took her off the mat for a year and a half, to see her fight back, you know, just make the decision to come back first of all, and then, you know, kind of climb that mountain back into being, you know, the peak version of herself. Just, you know, anecdotally, I remember back in 2018 at the PSAL New York Girls High School State Tournament in New York City. Helen was down there. I think she was with BTS at the time, or she was visiting, you know, Beat the Streets. But she came out to that tournament, and it was not long after her head injury. And man, I felt so bad for her. You could just tell she was really struggling. She spoke quietly. It took her a while to respond to things. You know, she definitely wasn't showing, you know, a lot of emotion about anything. And you could just tell she was just really enduring being there and struggling. And, you know, just seeing that and then hearing the talk about her possibly coming back to the mat was like, okay, you know, she was in pretty rough shape. And, you know, if she was my wrestler, or my daughter for that matter, I've got three daughters who wrestle. I don't think I'd want her on the mat, and I think very seriously about whether or not to even return to the sport. It was such a serious head injury. And so, you know, Helen Maroulis has a good support system. You know, Helen Maroulis has a lot of faith in God, and you know, all that together, as you hear her tell her story, you know, she came to the decision that she wanted to do this. And then, you know, for her to just come back about, I guess it was over a year ago, to do that wrestle off at the WCWA Nationals at Life University in Georgia, where she wrestled off for the spot to go to the Pan Am Olympic qualifier. She won that wrestle off, had a tight match with Allie Reagan, and then, you know, went to the qualifier, did win the spot, you know, won that event. But you just see slowly, you know, she's starting to make her way back to her optimized self, you know. And I think at first there was probably some psychological things she had to get through with just people banging on her head and, you know, heavy collar ties and head snaps. And, you know, I mean, it had to be a very unnerving process that required a lot of faith to take steps along the way. All that to say, here we go. Like she comes to the Olympic team trials, and this is the moment when, you know, will the Helen Merula story continue? And will she have a chance to get back, you know, to the Olympics and to have a chance to win another gold medal and really kind of complete this amazing story of this amazing comeback story, you know, coming back from this devastating injury. And so she did it, and it was dramatic. It was amazing. And meanwhile, you know, one of the things I said in the preview that I wrote for Flow about this event was, Helen Merula has a story, but there's a lot of other women that have stories too. We might not know those stories as well as we know Helen Merula's story, but there's other women who have a story too. And one of the stories that came to the surface during this tournament was the fact that, you know, Jenna Burkett lost her mother last week. Can you imagine, you know, such a major event like the Olympic team trials, you know, right in front of you, and then having such a devastating thing happen in your family that, you know, certainly would overshadow, you know, even something as big as the Olympic trials. You know, losing your mother just overshadows that. And it had to be a very hard thing for Jenna to even, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to wrestle. But man, you watch her in the challenge tournament. She was amazing. I mean, she just wrecked everybody. She wrestled with incredible passion and intensity. And I've always had a high view of Jenna Burkett's wrestling, but I was like, man, she's like on a mission and she's dominating. And, you know, she wrestled Cheyenne Sissonstein at one point. And, you know, I have a very high view of Cheyenne Sissonstein. She's one of the toughest wrestlers, you know, in college wrestling. She won a national title this year, and Jenna just completely owned that match. You know, I thought Cheyenne would give her more of a match, but Jenna, you know, her power and technique and her passion, you know, just, you could see it. It was just overwhelming. And so she really dominates her way to that challenge, through the challenge tournament to the championship series final with Helen. And, you know, Helen and Jenna have wrestled before, but I really don't remember it being close. You know, it was always, you know, pretty dominant performances by Helen over Jenna. But man, right away you could see, you know, in that first match, this was going to be a battle. You know, in that first match with Helen, it was, I'm looking at the wrong weight class here. Good radio here. That silence. Okay. So it was 5-3 Helen in that first match. And you're going, man, like Jenna's in, she's in this match. And then she came out that second match and won it 6-5, you know, very dramatic match. And just to see, honestly, like to see Helen Merula's vulnerable in a domestic match like that, to see Jenna just, she's so tough. She's so strong, so powerful. And it's just to see her taking it to Helen like that and win that match, you're like, man, she could really do this. And you know, that third match, you know, had all the makings of being, you know, very tight, you know, right down to the last second match. But Helen Merula's went out there and hit that foot sweep that, you know, Elena Poroskova, did I say that right? Taught her, the previous Olympian taught her. She hit that, you know, moments after the whistle, that foot sweep put Jenna right on her back. And oh my gosh, like in the arena, the emotion in the arena and the emotion on the mat, like looking at their faces. And then right after the match, just to see Jenna just wither, you know, into tears. And you know, you could see her lips say, I'm sorry, Mom. And then, you know, Helen's excitement and then that, you know, them embracing. I mean, honestly, people were crying all over the arena, and, you know, and then following Twitter afterwards to see, you know, people's response and just, you know, how heartbreaking and heartwarming and inspiring and emotional and dramatic that moment was for Helen and Jenna. Two stories, you know, playing out on different tracks, coming together in that one moment, those two stories colliding, the drama that was in there in that moment was just, it was incredible. And like I said, it was both heartwarming and heartbreaking. It was inspiring and devastating at the same time. But that's wrestling, right? You know, wrestling sometimes it's like you think it's your best friend, and then it becomes your best friend that betrays you. And I'm sure, you know, that's how Jenna felt. Like, that match was not supposed to go that way. It was supposed to, you know, I'm sure she had a plan, and she knew she could win it. She just won that previous match against Helen, and it kind of seemed like the momentum had swung her way. But that was it. Lights out. Match over. Helen gets the pin. Helen's going back to the Olympics. She's going to Tokyo. And just being in the arena, you know, I actually walked down from where, you know, our media tribune was down to the tunnel where the women were exiting. And, you know, even 10, 15 minutes after the match, the emotion was still there. You know, Helen just that smile, that I think the same smile we saw on her face when she beat Yoshida, like, wow, I did it, and relief and joy and happiness. And yet, you know, Helen's a person, and Jenna's her friend, and you know that she was hurting for Jenna too, that you could see the compassion. And then to see Jenna come down, you know, that final walk toward the tunnel, just, you know, weeping, and, you know, the embraces that were being given by her support system. And I'll never forget that. And you know, having a, you know, figuratively speaking, a front row seat to that was really special, because I think it was a really special moment in the women's, you know, the story of women's wrestling in America. I don't think anybody who saw that will ever forget that situation and that match. And, you know, I don't know Jenna personally. I think I probably interviewed her before. But you know, she did honor her mother. And what she did was incredible and inspiring. And, you know, I don't think she needs to hang her head at all. I know it's heartbreaking to not get that Olympic spot, but, you know, she is on the Olympic team as the alternate and, you know, the number two. And, she had a fantastic tournament, and more than that, it was a fantastic life moment for both Helen and Jenna. And even now, like, I'm struggling not to tear up just at how incredible that moment was, and to be there, for that. So, that was the final at 50:57. You know, Helen got the pin at 23 seconds, and just an amazing match. A quote from Helen after the match. She said, "I'm all over the place. So many emotions. Wrestling, and in any sport, there's so many highs and lows. And there's a lot in one day. Speaking of today, I'm excited. I literally don't have words." So, you know, as far as the other finals go, you know, this has been widely reported, you know, the results. Sarah Hildebrand defeated Victoria Anthony at 50 kilos. Jakara defeated Ronna Heaton, who had an amazing, amazing tournament herself. Ronna Heaton did, not to mention Jakara. You know, at 57, Jakara wins that Olympic team spot. Kayla Miracle, we're going to talk about that finals in a moment with Macy Kilty. Wow, Kayla Miracle, congratulations to her and her family. Coach Lee, who's a friend of mine, congrats. There's been years that have gone into that moment, you know, for Kayla to get that Olympic spot for 62 kilos. Congrats to her. Tamara Mensah-Stock against Kennedy Blades. Man, again, like an amazing, amazing moment, amazing stories coming into that. But for Tamara to get that was incredible. She gets the 68-kilo Olympic spot. And Adeline Gray, doing Adeline Gray things. We'll talk about her final in a minute. She wins a 76-kilo spot. Just some little factoids. For Mensah-Stock, Hildebrand, Winchester, and Kayla Miracle, this is their first Olympic team. Even though Mensah-Stock actually won the Olympic trials in 2016, the American women's team failed to qualify the spot. Heartbreaking, you know, for Mensah-Stock to not be able to go to the Olympics. But now she's an Olympian, so she's for the first time officially an Olympian, and five-time world champ Adeline Gray. This is her second team, but she's seeking her first Olympic medal. She's seeking her first Olympic, and of course, she wants the gold medal. She doesn't have that distinction. As great of a career as she's had, she hasn't won an Olympic medal, let alone become an Olympic champion. And if you watched her talk about it before this event, you know she wants it, and she wants it bad. And then, of course, Helen Maroulis, you know, making her second straight team, seeking to defend that Olympic gold. So let's keep going through the weights here, and I'm not necessarily going to do it in order. Let me just do it by some of the, I think, the big storylines. Let me go to that 68 kilo final with Mensa Stock and Kennedy Blades. There was a lot of talk going into this tournament and into that final. You know, Kennedy Blades, we had yet to see her ceiling. You know, how high can she go right now as a 17-year-old junior? And she just kept beating, you know, senior-ranked wrestler after senior-ranked wrestler. You know, it kind of started last fall when she beat Hannah Gladden, you know, who had been number three on the senior national team in 2019. She pinned her. And she goes to the junior national finals against Joy Levandusky from McKendree, my daughter. She beat Joy in the finals, a tech fall, second period tech fall. And then she goes to last chance, and she beats Skylar Grote, you know, the number four senior ranked wrestler. And then she comes to this tournament, she beats Alex Glaude, then she beats Forrest Molinari. And it's like, it just, you're going, where does it stop? Can she actually beat Tamara Mensah-Stock? And she takes Tamara down to start the final. And you're like, is it going to happen again? But, you know, I just kind of among friends, I thought that Tamara would be the end of that run. As somebody said on Twitter, and I think rightly so, I think this is the best summary of Kennedy Blades right now and Tamara Mensah-Stock. They said, Tamara is now and Kennedy is the future. So, you know, Kennedy Blades has nothing to hang her head about. she had two very good matches with Tamara, scored in both of them. In the first one, it was 12-4, and then she lost 8-1. But, you know, Tamara looked like Tamara. She was, you know, her defense most of the time was stingy. Her counters are, you know, world class. Her leg shots are elite, you know, world level, explosive, you know, her ability to finish, you know, her ability just to hold position. You know, she eventually was able to slow Kennedy down, and you know, I think as she kind of felt Kennedy's shots you know, coming in, and you know, Kennedy just, her pace is really high. And, you know, at first in both these matches, you saw Kennedy's, you know, her double and single leg shots being fired off, you know, at a high rate. And, you know, it's almost like, it's like Tamara needed to kind of feel that a little bit. And then she started stopping those shots and scoring off those shots. But like I said, Kennedy, you know, that first match scored, I think two takedowns in that match, in that 12-4 final. But, you know, Tamara cracked the code and was able to do to Kennedy what she's done to everyone in the world, and defend their offense and get to her offense and score points. And so Tamara Mensah-Stock is your, you know, I guess officially 2020 Olympian. Amazing tournament, an amazing moment, you know, after, again, like there was a lot of emotion after these Olympic spots had been won, and to see Tamara drop to her knees, and just, she's such a sweet person. You know, I did like an hour-long interview with her for an article after the 2019 Worlds that she won. And I'm like, man, she is just the nicest. Everybody says that. She's the nicest and sometimes goofiest person, except on the mat. She's a little mean on the mat, a little bit of a bully on the mat, you know, like you want them to be. But, man, in person, you know, off the mat, she's the nicest, sweetest. And I don't know, like, for me, it's like, of anybody that you'd want to see, you know, get what she deserves and what she's worked for and get that Olympic spot, and, you know, to feel good about somebody getting that, you know, that for me, definitely Tamara Mensah-Stock is right at the top of that list. I love that she is going to represent our country too. You know, just the joy she brings to the sport, the passion, the, the skill, the ability. I think we're all going to be shocked if she, you know, doesn't at least come home with a medal, if not, you know, win gold. She's clearly the favorite to win gold. So great moment for her. And then, you know, I'm standing there again above the tunnel where the women are exiting the competition floor, you know, back into the tunnels. And after everybody gave Tamara Mensah-Stock a standing ovation, here comes Kennedy, you know, walking down toward us, toward the tunnel. And it was slowly people started to notice, and you could just tell this swell of respect and appreciation and gratitude kind of swelled up in the crowd as people rose to their feet and gave Kennedy Blades a really nice standing ovation. And that didn't happen to any other second place finisher. Nobody else got, you know, that type of standing ovation as the loser of the final. But people recognize what we just saw was really something special. It was kind of a foreshadowing of what's to come, you know, for Kennedy Blades to do what she did. And then really give Tamara, I mean, a couple of really good matches. Like, it was phenomenal. And everybody recognized that. And, you know, the whole room stood up and applauded her. And by the way, just to see even Kennedy, you know, right after the match, when everybody's giving Tamara Mensah-Stock applause, I don't know if you saw, but Kennedy was too. Kennedy was applauding Tamara. Like, she immediately, you know, switched into being, you know, a supporter and a fan of Tamara, because she appreciates and knows what Tamara's gone through and what Tamara's done as well. And so just to see Kennedy, you know, the humility just to immediately, you know, applaud that, you know, I really admired that and appreciated that. You know, I just think there was so much virtue and so much value on display in a lot of these women, you know, especially in these finals. And it was really cool to see. So, yeah, that was that was awesome. Mensah-Stock afterwards in her interview through tears said, I'm not done yet, but I'm so proud of the fact that in 2016, 5 years ago, I was not able to claim the title of being an Olympian. And she says, and now I did. It makes me so happy. She said, it gets frustrating knowing that you're capable of doing something and it's been pushed back again and again and again. It's finally here, and I thank God that I'm able to call myself an Olympian. So congrats, Tamara Mensah-Stock. You can now call yourself an Olympian. You're going to Tokyo. And again, congrats to Kennedy Blades. Let's move to 76. Adeline Gray. I don't know. Is anybody surprised? You know, hats off to Kylie Welker. Amazing performance, amazing tournament. You know, took out Diamond Guilford, who going into the Olympic trials was ranked number 2 at the senior level. took her out. Took out national champion, NCAA national champion Yelena Mikoyed. Excuse me, sorry. And you know, makes that challenge tournament final. So, you know, hats off to her. We were talking, you know, in media row beforehand, and, you know, we're just talking through, like, what do you think is going to happen in the final? And sorry about that. I had to step away from the mic and clear my throat. Sheesh, I had, like, 7 frogs in my throat. Anyway, we were up in media row before the finals talking about, you know, what might happen. And when we got to 76 kilos, one of the things I said was, I think if and when Adeline Gray gets a takedown, her parterre is so good. Her turns are so elite and so tough. I think it's lights out. I think it's match over. And that's kind of how it played out. 10-0, 11-0. Welker, you know, she showed some fight. You know, she was defending in the neutral position and defending the ties. It took a little bit for Adeline Gray to get to her takedown, but once she did, you know, her ability to kind of come at you from, you know, 7 different angles and get to her parterre and get her turns, you know, was very impressive. And she just exerted her will from that parterre position on Welker and you know, got the tech fall in both matches, 10-0, 11-0. She's going back to the Olympics. She gets to win or have her chance to win an Olympic medal. And I know she has her sights set on gold, and you know, she wants that distinction, and she now has her opportunity. So, you know, congrats to Adeline Gray. great representative for the United States for a long time, and she gets to do it again here in Tokyo, and we're all very excited to see that play out, and all rooting for her as she represents our country in Tokyo at the Olympics. Okay, let's move on to 53. Jakar Winchester defeated Ronna Heaton in two straight matches, 7-4 and 12-2. One of the things I said in the preview before this, this tournament and this final was whoever gets to the final, and I thought some of the women were close enough that it could be any number of a few different women. And we're going to talk about Ronna Heaton in a minute and what amazing tournament she had. But, one of the thoughts I had was, maybe one of these women can beat Winchester in one match, but I don't think they can beat her in three. And, Heaton in that first match, made it really, really close, made it a good match. It was 7-4. Winchester, final in that. It might have even been 5-4 at one point, late in the second period. So, that was a really good match. And, that was probably the one that Heaton was going to win if she was going to win one, because, once they came out in that second match, you could just tell Winchester was going to be a little more aggressive, and she was not that she wasn't confident in the first one, but you know how sometimes these best of series go. The first match is sometimes it almost feels like I'm going to feel my opponent out, and I'm going to be more conservative, and make sure I don't make a mistake that gives the match away, and they kind of wrestle that way. And once a wrestler gets a win, especially if it's a wrestler that was the favorite or is the number one, in this case like Jakar Winchester, and is historically more dominant, they'll come out sometimes that second match with a little more fire, like, okay, time to throw caution to the wind, or at least not be as cautious or as conservative, and I'm gonna attack, I'm gonna get to my offense. And that's kind of how the second match looked, and it was pretty dominant. It didn't really look like the first match. Winchester 12-2 tech fall, wins it. And when she won again, man, just the emotion, her falling to her knees, and she shrieked this, like, I don't know, it was like an ear piercing scream that just echoed throughout the arena. Even though we were cheering for her and we were applauding for her, you could hear it. And she was kind of in that position for a while, just pouring out her emotion. I mean, it has to be, I don't know, like somewhat of a relief too, right? Like, there's so many things that have gone wrong. Like Tamara Mensah-Stock said, this has been pushed off again and again and again, and now it's finally here, and I've dreamt about this moment, there's always the doubt in the back of your mind. Am I actually going to be able to pull it off when I need to? I hope I don't get COVID and get DQ'd from the tournament like Nick Soriano did. I hope I make weigh-ins in time, unlike Jaden Cox in that terrible situation. I feel so bad for him. Once those things are behind you and it's all lifted off and you've won and I'm the Olympian, it must be an incredible relief. And I think that's what we saw with Winchester. Just, I don't know, all the years and the work and the stress and the emotions and the questions and the pandemic and the putting it off. And she did it. And she was just so excited, emotional, and I don't know. It's hard to contain the emotions in that time, and I don't think any of us can feel what she felt. But I don't know. I think we all were connecting with her in that moment. As the wrestling community, just appreciating that moment for her and what she was able to accomplish. So, congrats to Jakar Winchester, in 2019 world champ, gets to go and try to become an Olympic champion. So, fantastic wrestler who is going to be a fantastic representative on the mat for the United States. Ronna Heaton. Ronna Heaton. Come on. What in the world? I mean, for her to beat Parrish and then, to get through, was it, who'd she beat on the bottom side there? I'm not in challenge tournament mode yet, but I shall be in a moment. Yeah, she beats Parrish, and then she beats Catherine Shai, and she pins both of them. Oh, my goodness. I've been paying close attention to Heaton's, track record and her sort of story playing out and her development and growth. Watching her at these RTC cards, she's done great. She had some great moments. Did she win a match at the Captain's Cup? I don't even think she won a match at the Captain's Cup. But she was close. And, you know, she had tough matches. I mean, it was the best of the best there. And then you watch her on these RTC cards, and you're like, she's developing. She's made some leaps here. She's jumped levels. But I didn't think that she jumped to this level. And maybe she literally jumped to this level at this tournament. Because I don't know, anybody who's been following women's wrestling, I mean, we all have a high view of Rana and do believe she's a big part of the future of that weight class. But were you picking her against Shai? I wasn't. I mean, Shai kind of dominated her within the last... Again, some of these events just blur for me, but in their recent matches, it was all Shai. And Shai's looked amazing coming into this tournament. And then, you know, Dominique Parrish, did anybody pick her against Parrish? I think the one thing that we were wondering about, and, you know, maybe there's some truth to this, but, you know, I don't know what's going on in wrestling rooms, so, you know, I'm just kind of stabbing in the dark here. But I do know that we didn't see some of these women like, you know, Alex Hedrick and Dominique Parrish. I'm sure they were wrestling and training and wrestling matches. But, you know, there is something about, like, real competition, like with something on the line, like U23s or senior nationals or Captain's Cup. I don't know. I'm not saying you can't get good matches, you know, in a wrestling room when you put your singlets on and just sort of, you know, have a dry run at wrestling real matches. You know, every program does it. Every RTC does it. But we haven't seen Parrish. We haven't seen Hedrick. They had fine tournaments. They look tough. But I guess I'm saying if you look at Heaton and how much she wrestled in those, like, really high-stakes matches, and then we haven't seen Parrish, I think, since Senior Nationals 2019, I don't know. I think that might... That's got to contribute to Heaton's success and being able to get a win over somebody that... Like Parrish, of that, you know, caliber of wrestler that I don't think anybody would have picked her to beat her even 3-6 months ago, let alone a year ago. So, I don't know. Like, you know, Heaton just staying on the mat, you know, with the Wisconsin RTC and her them giving her those tough matchups and her wrestling... anybody, anywhere, anytime. I mean, you kind of see that at every level. You know, I'm a coach at the, you know, I run a youth wrestling club and I'm an assistant coach for our local varsity program. You know, I volunteer coach there. And you see that the wrestlers who are wrestling, even if their results aren't great, like when it comes time for postseason and those big matches, a lot of times it's those wrestlers who have been wrestling a lot in those tougher matches earlier in the season who, you know, who perform well in the postseason. So all that to say, I think it says more about Heaton than it does Parrish. You know, Parrish ended up winning the true third match. Well, Shai forfeited out, and, you know, Parrish ended up, you know, getting on the national team, so she came back, and she really did have a fine tournament, but, you know, that one result that would have put her into position to be an Olympian, you know, she lost that match, and I think that has a lot to do with Heaton's consistently, you know, wrestling on those RTC cards and in the national tournaments over the last 6 to 9 months. So, congrats to Heaton. Big tournament for her, you know, number two on the national team now. The Olympic alternate, it's got to feel good for her. Great event. Okay, so still talking about the finals. Let's talk 50 kilos. Sarah Hildebrandt was just unstoppable. I mean, as good as Victoria Anthony looked, you know, in the challenge tournament, and as good as Victoria Anthony has looked, you know, over the last several months, even internationally. You know, Anthony getting the bronze medal at the Ukraine tournament and then winning the gold medal at the Mateo Pelicone. You know, and then for her to, she dominated Amy Fernside in the challenge tournament final. She looked great. and then she ran into Sarah Hildebrandt. And I do think that Anthony got the first takedown, so you're like, oh, well, okay, well, maybe she's going to give Sarah a challenge here. That was it. After that first takedown, Hildebrandt scored 22 unanswered points in, you know, the two straight matches to win that Olympic spot. And she just looked, you know, unstoppable. You know, after that first takedown, she was a brick wall defensively. She was able to score, you know, in multiple ways, you know, off of leg shots and counters and you know, just doing Sarah Hildebrandt stuff. You know, 2018 world silver medalist. You know, after the match, she was really excited. She said, I don't even know how to talk about it. I feel like I'm going to keep squealing. I'm so excited. There have been many people who have helped me, and I feel so emotional toward them. It's the culmination of so many things, which I think was a consistent thing for a lot of the women, you know, the culminating experience of the Olympic team trials. So congrats to Hildebrandt. Again, a great representative for the United States. I think we all expect to see a medal around her neck at the Olympics, and, you know, very exciting for her, and a dominant performance in the final. So congrats to Sarah Hildebrandt and to Victoria Anthony for getting that number two team spot. You know, came up short against Hildebrandt, but really had an amazing challenge tournament. So that's 50 kilos. Okay, let's go on to 62 kilos. Wow. This one had a lot of drama. You know, if you saw that. Kayla Miracle coming into this tournament was the obvious favorite. I mean, she owned this weight class for the last few years. You know, Kilty ran into Hildebrandt in France. Not Hildebrandt. Kilty ran into Kayla Miracle in France in January at the Henri Deglane tournament. And Kilty got a takedown, but, you know, after that it was all Kayla. 8-2 is the final score. So, I don't know. I'm thinking going into this, not that, you know, Kilty can't give Kayla a good match, but I felt like, yeah, Kayla's going to, you know, she's going to find a way like she did in that Henri Deglane final to get the points she needs in both matches, you know, to win it. I thought she'd win it 2-0. Kilty just, she closed the gap. And again, Kilty's somebody who's wrestled a lot. We've seen her a lot at these USA wrestling events and the Captain's Cup and these different things. You know, some of the RTC cards, you know, for the Tar Heel Club. You know, that first match, you know, it was 8-4. She lost to Miracle, but you could tell, like, that first match had to be a confidence builder because, you know, I think Kilty, I felt like late Kilty came on and you felt like, whoa, yeah, she's getting some confidence here, and she's finding some offense here. So even though she lost, I felt like, man, going into that second match, Kilty's got to feel good about how the match felt, you know, the end of the first match felt. And sure enough, she goes out there and wins that second match 4-3. And, you know, that third match, you know, had all the makings of being, you know, high drama. Yeah, similar to Marulis Burkett, you know, you're thinking, man, this is going to be tight. It's going to be close. It's going to be right down to the wire. And, you know, even though Kayla, you know, has been the better wrestler, you know, in that moment, on that night, in that third match, I don't know, I think a lot of us were thinking, maybe this is Kilty. Maybe she's going to do this. But, you know, Kayla is very experienced. She's not afraid of big moments and big matches. She's wrestled all over the world. She's been a, you know, U23 medalist. She's won four WCWA titles. Kayla had the right mindset in that match. And similar to Helen, really, went out there like, it's almost like, I am not going to let you think that you can beat me. I'm going to score early and I'm going to get a lead. And she attacked very early in that match, you know, got to a takedown, got to a lace, and that's when the very unfortunate and unthinkable thing happened on the first roll through on the leg lace. You just saw Kilty's jaw drop and pain and anguish on her face, and she cried out, and you're like, oh no, she's hurt. They stopped the match. I don't even think they gave Miracle 2 points for the first leg lace. The scoreboard said 2-0, and you know there's a lot of injury time, and you know everybody's hoping. And you know, I mean, knowing Kayla, maybe even she was hoping that Kilty would get off that mat, because you know nobody wants to win that way. Even though if there's an Olympic spot on the line, I don't think any of us would object to winning that spot, you know, however it comes. So that being said, you know, we're all wrestlers, and you know, we respect our opponents and we respect the journey and the process. And you know, that just felt like a really it was a hard thing to watch. It felt like a really sad part of that night, I think, for Kilty, for Kayla. It even took a little bit of the pop, I think, out of the moment that she might have had if the match went the distance and Kayla won it, you know, without an injury default. Kilty, you know, she tried to wrestle again and Kayla got to another shot, and you could just tell this thing's over. You know, even if Kilty tried to wrestle, she didn't have the strength to be able to defend the leg lace, and you know, it was obviously over. So Miracle's your Olympian. You know, great journey for her. You know, in 2016 she took fourth, took two losses at the Olympic team trial. So, you know, it just shows you what 4 years can, actually 5 years now, right? It shows you what 5 years can do. You know, for her to just keep working hard. Kayla 2.0, you know, at the Hawkeye Wrestling Club, then her move to Arizona, her experience internationally. You know, congrats Kayla Miracle for winning that Olympic spot. Can't wait to watch her wrestle at the Olympics. I'm so happy for her and her her father. You know, my daughter Joy was recruited by a lot of college programs, and you know, one of the places we did a visit to was Campbellsville, and you know, got to know them a little bit during that time, and you know, always appreciated them and always appreciated Kayla and the joy and the kindness, you know, that she brings to the sport, and always respected her as a wrestler, and you know, followed her journey. So congrats to her and her family, and like I said, just friends with her dad, and he's got to be so proud, and I just really happy for them. Tough, you know, for Kilty and you know, her program, her RTC, her family. You know, that's just a tough thing. Even Kilty on Twitter was like, this one's hard to process. I get it. You know, it's, I don't know, you know, as a guy who's involved in ministry, and you know, I do a lot with pastoral ministry. You know, it's like my wrestling world is like my part-time work. You know, as somebody who has a front row seat to people that go through a lot of pain and trials that they can't explain, sometimes all you can do is just put it in God's hands and say, I'm not God. And, you know, because of that, he sees things I don't see, and he knows things I don't know. And, there's moments like that. And this, you know, this certainly felt like one of those moments for Kilty, for it to end that way. You're just going to have to put it into God's hands and say, you know, he's in control, and you know, I just keep moving on with the process and endure the pain of this. And, you know, I'll understand this one day, and I'm going to turn this into something good. And, you know, that's what faith does. And so, you know, tough moment for her. You know, I think in that way, like, wrestling is sort of, I don't know, it's a microcosm of life. You know, Skylar Grote was kind of processing some of the same things after her loss to Kennedy. It's like, it confronts you with like painful life moments and heart searching, soul searching moments, like faster than life itself can do sometimes. Wrestling like accelerates sometimes your confrontation with disappointments and pain and obstacles and trials and struggles and doubts and confusion, and you know, it's there that we grow as people, you know, through that pain and process. And yeah, so all that to say, you know, I guess I just want to just acknowledge what a painful moment that was for Kilty, and you know, even as a wrestling fan, you know, to just, you know, ache for her and wonder with probably a lot of people in the wrestling community, like, man, why did that have to happen? And that's where I think our faith comes in, and sometimes you just got to plug your nose and walk through it, and the only way out is through it. And so our best wishes and prayers to Macy for her recovery, and you know, hope to see her, you know, back on the mat again, and also back on, you know, the big stage of women's wrestling again. And she'll have her chance in the future for sure. She's still very young. So it was a very dramatic moment, dramatic final. Again, like the high highs and low lows, just on display, full display at the Olympic team trials. So I believe that we have gone through the finals. We went 50, 53, 57, yeah, 62, 68, 76. So let's just kind of take a quick peek now back through the brackets, and let's just look at the challenge tournament and just want to share some thoughts about the challenge tournament, some of the performances in the challenge tournament. So calling up 50 kilos, you know, one of the things that was obvious going into the tournament at 50 kilos was how close these women were to each other as far as like skill and ability. I mean, it's like they'd all kind of beaten each other. And even when you had wrestlers who like had more wins against an opponent, in their kind of their lifetime series, those matches were close. For example, you know, Amy Fernside owned the last two wins against Alyssa Lampe, and I think they were both 2-point wins. I think it was like 6-5 and I was like 11-10 or some barn burning score at the Captain's Cup. So yeah, Fernside won the last two, but they were very close. And in the Captain's Cup match, you know, Lampe had the Lampe was ahead, I think way ahead at one point. And so, you know, you knew that it wasn't like, oh, well, you know, Fernside's won the last two, she's going to win this one. You know, in that true third match, it was another very close match. And this time it was Lampe, 6-5. She gets that number three spot on the team, which also makes you wonder, like, what are Lampe's plans? You know, you looked at Jackie Cataline at 76 kilos. She put her shoes on the mat, and she did not wrestle in the backside after she took that loss. She's retiring, so she, you know, she gave some forfeits, or the forfeit to McCoyad to put McCoyad in that third place match. Not that McCoyad wouldn't have won that match, but it would have been a good match. But, you know, that happens. Like, okay, I'm done, so I'm not going to try to take a spot from somebody else. So presumably if you're going to wrestle on the backside, then you have plans to continue. And, you know, Lampe, I don't know how old she is. Somebody told me she's in her young 30s. So for her not to, you know, forfeit out the tournament, kind of looks like she has plans to continue. And, you know, how long is she going to continue wrestling? She's wrestling at a high level. Why not? As long as she enjoys the sport and she can perform, good on her. So, yeah, Lampe wins that spot over Fernside. Very close match. And then, you know, in the semi, you know, Lampe against Anthony. I mean, Lampe almost made that challenge tournament final. Lampe beat Victoria Anthony in the finals of Senior Nationals 2019. The last time they met, it was a very close match. Lampe was ahead like 6-2, I think. And then, I'm sorry, Anthony was ahead 6-2. And then Lampe threw Victoria Anthony for the fall. So again, you knew that was going to be a close match. And again, it was. It was 7-6 Victoria Anthony to make that challenge tournament final. Fernside didn't have her best match there. Lost to Anthony, which put her back in the true third match that Lampe wrestled her way back to by beating Whitney Condor in the consolation finals. So, really good tournament for Lampe. Again, 1 point away. Her only loss was to Victoria Anthony, 7-6. You know, pretty disappointing day for Whitney Condor, the number one seed. You know, really felt for her as she took a loss by fall to Fernside and then a loss by fall to Lampe on the backside. You know, again, like Whitney Condor has been around a long time you know, you think she's nearing the end of her career as well. This is not saying she won't wrestle in the future Olympic trials, but, you know, this was probably one of her best opportunities to accomplish her dream. And, you know, it didn't happen for her. Tough tournament for her. You know, she does place, I don't know, like what place do these women get when you add the true third match in there? Say third, fourth. I guess she got fifth by losing the consolation finals. So, yeah, tough day for her. You know, some of the other women, you know, Sage Mortimer, you know, she had a great day at the last chance. you know, ran into the top five here, and you know, you can tell Sage is, she's the future, but not quite at that level there with the elite women, the top five, top six women in this weight class. Shilson beat her by fall. Golston beat her by tech fall. But again, Shilson's a high school kid. She had a great great run, and you can expect to see her in the future. Some other solid performances. Emily Shilson. Shilson did get that win over Mortimer, lost to Victoria Anthony, went on the backside, beat the NCAA champion Angie Gomez, beat Aaliyah Gould, and then lost to Condor. So, I think Emily's similarly, she's competitive against the top five, but still not, quite at that level. She's still young. Like Mortimer, I think Shilson's, she's the future. And, over the next few years, you'll see her, I think, close that gap and, start winning not only matches, but some of these team spots that she's trying to get. So right now, I think Emily, she's still kind of hanging around that, number 4, 5, 6 ranking, and, struggles against those top three and sometimes four. So, okay, so that was 50 kilos. Let's take a look at 53 kilos in the challenge tournament. I already mentioned you had Dominique Parrish, took that tough loss to Heaton, but really came back and had a nice tournament to come back to win that true third match, beat Alicia Hauk, pretty dominant win, 11-0, and then she beat her teammate Hedrick. That match has some history. They ran into each other, I think, twice in the WCWA National Finals, like 2-3 years ago, and Parrish has owned that series, and this match kind of looked like, a lot of the matches have in their history. Hedrick can score, but, just can't seem to find enough offense or defense to stop Parrish's attacks. So it was Parrish 9-4, and then Parrish takes a forfeit to win that true third match and get the number three spot on the team. Hedrick had, she had a nice tournament. She lost to Rana Heaton, who was, again, on fire. I think Heaton, maybe except for her cadet world title, probably had the best tournament of her life here, at least the challenge tournament, beating Heaton and then, beating Hedrick, and then Heaton beat Parrish, as we already pointed out. But, Hedrick only lost 4-0, it was a tight match, and then she goes into the backside, beats a very tough Marissa Gallegos, beats a very, very tough Jaslyn Gallegos. Gallegos really looked tough. Jaslyn Gallegos, that is. She just dominated Peyton Prusson, who I think everybody after Peyton Prusson's year in the NAIA was thinking, man, she's going to have a shot at competing for a national team spot. Peyton Prusson ran into a very, very tough and ready to wrestle Jaslyn Gallegos, who tech fault her 10-0. And then, Peyton ran into Felicity Taylor, that she's taken a loss to before, and Taylor owned that match as well, 12-0. So tough draw, tough tournament for Prusson. Had a great year, but, again, every draw is a tough draw at the Olympic team trials, right? I mean, she ran into two hammers, and, Prusson, was not able to get a win there, but, had a great year. Jaslyn Gallegos just looked amazing. Almost beat Alex Hedrick, almost beat her to get into the, to get into position to win, to get, to that true third match. Didn't work out for her, but man, she's young. You got to think she's coming too. Don't sleep on Jaslyn Gallegos in the future. She's part of that Presbyterian program. It's a Division I program. I think Jaslyn Gallegos has, she's All-American twice in the NCAA event, but she hasn't won it. So I think she's, because of that reason, she's a little bit in the shadows, not in the college wrestling world. I think everybody knows who she is, but, hasn't won that national title, so maybe hasn't gotten the headlines. So maybe she was a surprise to some people, but I think when she wrestles like she can wrestle, this is who she is. She's somebody that can compete with, some of the top senior wrestlers. She only lost 8-6 to Hedrick, but Hedrick goes on, beats Villascusa. Villascusa, from the WCAT program, the Army WCAT program, beat very tough Felicity Taylor, 6-2. and then loses to Shai 2-1, which was a rematch from their 2019 match where Villascusa actually won 4-4. So Shai got the win. And, you know, after what Shai did to Heaton, you're thinking, man, she's going to be the one to go to the challenge tournament final. But Heaton was just on fire. So Villascusa goes back to the wrestle, back to the Consies, and runs into Hedrick. Hedrick beat her in a chess match, 2-1, and that set up the Hedrick Parrish final. So really tough bracket. I mean, loaded with, tough woman, tough wrestler after tough wrestler. I mean, every draw, I guess, was a tough draw. Congrats to all those who made the top three there. And, you know, and again, congrats to Jasmine Gallegos for having a really solid tournament. Alex Hedrick and Dominique Parrish for, you know, having not wrestled much at all, if at all, within the last year, you know, for them to come out and, put together a pretty good day. You know, Parrish get that number three spot. Congrats to them. So, okay. By the way, I see Jasmine Hernandez name in there from the Lion Club. Won the NAIA title. I saw her coach there, and I guess I owe Jasmine an apology. So, Jasmine, I did not pick you to win the NAIA tournament. I'm a guy who interprets results, and based on the results that I saw, I thought you would All-American. I didn't think you'd win it. I stand corrected, and I publicly apologize for picking against you. Even though I probably, if I had to go back with the results and the information I had, I'd probably do it again. But moving forward, Jasmine, I may not pick against you. Especially since, the blowback of you guys taking my excerpt from this podcast and using it in an inspirational video not to listen to doubters. But hey, I'm glad I can provide that fodder. I'm glad I can, I'm glad that somebody's talking about women's wrestling and that somebody's doing a podcast about it so that, there's fodder like that for you to be motivated when somebody picks against you. So anyway, good to see Jasmine Hernandez there at the Olympic team trials, and I apologize. Okay, so moving on to 57 kilos. You had Nettie come back and win the true third spot. Allie Reagan forfeited. I don't know what that means. There's been some talk about, why would somebody who is still going to wrestle in the near future not, compete to try to get a national team spot like Allie Reagan? Like, clearly, you'd think she could have come back and won that spot. And I don't know, like, some of the feedback I got from, some of the people in the know about these things, it's like, well, it's about funding. Like, if somebody's in a club or at an RTC and they're already funded, they might not need the stipend and the funding that you would get from, like, being the number two or number three in the U.S. national team. So it might not be as important to them. So I don't know if this means that Allie Reagan is retiring. She didn't say anything that she's retiring, didn't take her shoes off, and I haven't heard or seen of any post, that she's going to do that. But it was curious that she did not, after her loss to Burkett in the finals of the challenge tournament, she forfeited out, and which, made room for Abby Nettie to come back and win that number three spot on the team. Nettie had a great Olympic team trials. She lost to Cam Guerin. These two have a history. Nettie beat her 11-9 at the 2019 senior nationals. Guerin got the revenge win in the rematch here in the quarterfinals of the Olympic team trials, 11-8, and lo and behold, Nettie goes into the back side and wrestles to that Consi semi, and who does she run into? Cam Guerin again. This time she beat Guerin. So Nettie beat her and then lost to her and beat her, and that put her in the true third match, and she won the that spot. So congrats to Nettie, and congrats to Guerin. Again, Guerin's young. I think she's another one of those wrestlers that you say she's the future. Guerin had a win over Lauren Louise. Guerin had a rematch against Amanda Martinez. It was a rematch of the national NCAA finals. When I say NCAA, I mean the National Collegiate Women's Wrestling Championships. Guerin dominated that match this time. She only beat Amanda Martinez 9-6 in the national finals. This time in the opening round of the Olympic team trials, she dominated that 11-0. Cheyenne Sissenstein won a couple matches. Again, you have to say she's the future. I mean, Burkett just made everybody look like her younger sister until she got to Helen. I mean, even against Allie Reagan, Burkett just dominated that, you know, beat her by fall, which had she beaten Reagan before? I don't have the results in front of me, but I think Reagan has kind of owned that series before. So, and Burkett is definitely leveled up, you know, she's gone to a new level. And, but yeah, so, you know, Sissenstein had a decent tournament. XMP, you know, kind of made herself, you know, made a name for herself, you know, these last 6 months at the senior level, starting with that upset win over Allie Reagan at the senior nationals. She had a decent tournament. You know, she beat Bridget Duty, a very, very tough Bridget Duty, who, you know, won the NAIA and was the NAIA Wrestler of the Year. They had a barn burner. XMP won 15-12. XMP then lost to Allie Reagan 9-2, so Reagan won that rematch. And then when XMP came to the backside, it was Nettie that beat her. And that put Nettie in the Consi semis against Guerin. And that's where Nettie won and then, you know, got to the true third match. So again, great weight class. A lot of tough matches, good matches happening in the challenge tournament. So congrats to all those women. Okay, at 62 kilos. Maya Nelson against Macy Kilty in the challenge tournament finals. It was all Kilty, 5-0. You know, Kilty looked good all tournament. You know, Kilty had a tech fall over Zavala. Kilty beat, you know, world bronze medalist Mallory Velty 4-2. That was a big win for her to make that challenge tournament final. And then Nelson, you know, beat Nelson 5-0. And I think those two matches, Kilty against Velty and Kilty against Nelson, show you, you know, that the level that Kilty has gotten to, because Kilty has... you know, Kilty dominated Velty at the Captain's Cup. This match was a much closer match, which I thought it would be, than the Captain's Cup match was against Velty. But, you know, historically, Velty and Nelson had beaten Kilty, who was kind of coming up from high school wrestling and, you know, young. And this just shows you over the couple years, you know, Kilty's leveling up. And, you know, to be able to beat Maya Nelson, you know, the junior world champion, 5-0. You know, that just shows you where Kilty is at. You know, Nelson had a good tournament getting to those finals. She, you know, beat Anna Luciano 10-4, and then beat Jen Page 6-1. You know, she looked pretty good, but Kilty was just a brick wall. You know, that put Nelson in the true third match against Jen Page, who Jen Page actually wrestled back after her loss to Nelson. She wrestled back and had a rematch with Emma Bruntle. Page beat Bruntle 5-2 earlier in the tournament, something she had not done in their previous two matches. I think Bruntle won 2-1 and 2-2. In some of the, you know, the cards and, you know, the Captain's Cup. And then Paige won that match in the quarters here, 5-2 over Bruntle. Well, Bruntle and Paige wrestled back to get the consolation semi, and Paige beat her again 4-1. So Paige kind of flipped the script where she'd lost the previous two. This time she beat Bruntle twice in a row. Peculiarly, Paige did not wrestle that true third match against Maya Nelson, so Maya gets that number three spot. I'm not sure what that was about. Another notable result here, Emma Bruntle, to get to that match against Paige in the consolation semi, ran into Mallory Velty and actually beat Velty. So that shows you where Emma Bruntle's level is at, too. You know, Velty actually had just dominated Kilty. I think it was like 8-0. I don't think it was a tech fall, but it might have been at the Captain's Cup. But, you know, it was a very lopsided match. Even though before that, in 2019, Bruntle and Velty split matches. Might have been at the Farrell, the Bill Farrell tournament. But it looked like, you know, Velty at the Captain's Cup had, you know, had passed Bruntal, but you know, this shows you Bruntal made adjustments and got that win over Velti, the, you know, the world bronze medalist. And you know, again, Bruntal's another one you're gonna have to say she's the future. You know, where Jen Page is, you know, I don't know if she's retiring, you know, but she's you know, up in years and probably in the twilight of her career. You know, you got Bruntal, Kilty here, you know, really the two youngest of that up and coming group, who performed well at the Olympic team trials. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes in the future. Okay, I could talk about more, but we will move on to 68 kilos, the challenge tournament. Yeah, Kennedy Blades, I mean, goodness. She came out of the gate and had a match against Rachel Waters, and just dominated. I mean, it was like, if you told me, you know, like if I didn't know and you said, tell me, is that Rachel Waters or not? I'd say, no, that's not Rachel Waters. Because I don't ever see her beaten that badly. But man, she was beaten badly by Kennedy Blades. Like it was a 10-0 tech fall, but it happened pretty fast. And Kennedy just did whatever she wanted. Waters did come back, and she had a good match against Sienna Ramirez, the NAIA champ, lost that 6-5. So that just shows you where Blades is at. I mean, Blades just dominated Waters and then runs into Alex Gladdy. And this is where everybody's going, okay, this is kind of the next test for Kennedy as she goes against Alex Gladdy, the number 2 seed in the challenge tournament and the number 3 seed at the number 3 ranked woman at the senior national level. And Blades just did Blades stuff. But it was tougher. You know, it was only 5-0. She finally didn't tech somebody. You know, Glaudy's got incredible defense. That's, you know, it's kind of part of her style. She likes to keep matches close and keep matches down. And, you know, one of my thoughts before the match was, I was talking to some, you know, some of my friends at the arena, and I said, well, I think, you know, Glaudy likes to control matches. She likes to wrestle defensively. She likes to get the points she needs and then control the match and, you know, win close matches. And I said, I don't know if she's going to be able to do that against Kennedy Blades, because I think Kennedy's going to get some points, and I think Alex is going to have to open up her offense. And it seemed to kind of play out that way. Kennedy got points, you know, she got enough, you know, 5 points, and Glaudy just was not able to, you know, get to her offense and get to her shots and get points, which was surprising. I mean, here's a woman, Glaudy, you know, 2-time college national champion for McKendree, who, by the way, owned like all the weightlifting records in the weight room at McKendree for women. So you'd think with Glaude's, you know, horsepower, you know, her strength, you'd think that she'd be able to, you know, get some points against Blades, who's a high school junior. But that just tells you, you know, what a phenom, what an anomaly Kennedy Blades is, that Glaude was not able to score against her, and Blades, you know, to be able to win that 5-0. You know, she Blades passes the test and it goes again against Forrest Molinari, and you're like, another test. You know, here's the number 2 senior ranked woman and the number 1 seed in the challenge tournament. Tech fall. I mean, Blades tech falled Forrest Molinari. And it really wasn't close. You know. So that's what made everybody go, I mean, how good is she? Like, can she give Tamara a match? Can she beat Tamara? Well, she couldn't beat Tamara, but she did give her, as we already talked about, some really good matches. So, you know, amazing day for Kennedy Blades. Forrest Molinari, you know, actually had a really good Olympic trials. I mean, outside of that loss to Blades, she beat Alara Boyd, who's been wrestling really well, in the semis 4-3. And then she beat Alex Glaude 5-0, same score Blades beat her, in the true third match to win that number 3 spot in the national team. So she, you know, she preserves a spot in the national team, you know, by wrestling that true third, getting the win in that true third match. Yeah, like I said, Alara Boyd really looked good. Again, you'd have to think she's the future. She beat Sienna Ramirez 12-0 after Ramirez beat Rachel Waters. So, I mean, dominated Sienna Ramirez, the NAIA champ. and then ran into her teammate, Alex Claude, and only lost 2-2 by criteria. So, you know, that tells you where Boyd's at. She's already, you know, she's already at that top five senior level. So, you know, keep your eye on Boyd and her future and her career. She's certainly coming. Ashlyn Ortega, you know, lost to Boyd, which, you know, that happened before. That happened at the NCAA tournament a year ago. So it wasn't surprising, but it was a good match, 5-2. And then Ortega beats Felicity Bryant, and then it was Ortega that wrestled Glaude to try to get to the CONCACAF semis and lost that 4-1. So, you know, Ortega's, she's like a move away from beating the top five women in her weight class. And, you know, she's definitely, you know, in that top 10 senior level, but wasn't able to get those wins when she went up against, you know, the likes of Boyd and Glaude. But, you know, definitely very competitive at the Olympic team trials. So that's 68 kilos. And now we will go to 76, final weight class. Hope you like women's wrestling, because I'm just sharing as it comes to me and taking my time. This is going to be a long podcast, but yeah, this weight class was loaded, but I guess you say that about every weight class. But yeah, this was a very tough weight class. You know, I heard the FRL guys say that you know, it was a weaker weight class. I guess, I don't know, like when you're talking Olympic team trials, maybe compared to other weights, this didn't have as deep of a field. But I mean, when you're talking about Diamond Guilford, the number two ranked woman at the national, you know, senior national level, Victoria Francis, the number three, Elena McCoya, the NCAA champ, Sydney Kimber, an NCAA champ, Jordan Nelson, NAI champ. I mean, this is a tough group. So Guilford, you know, here we had another Cinderella, Kylie Welker. She kind of did here what Kennedy Blades did at 68. Welker starts off by beating the number four seed, and I think the number five or six ranked woman at the senior level, Randy Belts, Army W Cap, Randy Belts, just dominates her, 12-2. So right away you're going, here we go. And like Blades, the tests get tougher. She runs into Yelena McCoya, the NCAA champ, and she beat her pretty good, 11-4. And gosh, this match to me, what put on display what I'm talking about with high school, the mentality of these young high school phenoms coming up into the college and senior level. They wrestle, the phrase I've used is they wrestle without a conscience. In other words, they don't respect their opponents in a way where they're like, I'm going to feel you out. I know that you know, are a really good wrestler, so I'm going to be careful. They're not careful. They don't feel them out. They just come out firing off their attacks within, you know, within 5-10 seconds of the whistle. They're attacking and they're scoring. And compare like that, they're wrestling like they wrestle their opponents in high school. Like they expect to win, they expect to exert their will on them, and so they wrestle almost with like a, I don't know, I'm not saying this in a negative way or an insulting way, but they almost like wrestle stupid. Like I have no tactics except to attack. You know, I'm gonna put any caution out of my head. I'm gonna put, you know, whoever I'm wrestling, their name, their singlet out of my head. I'm just going to attack you like I'm wrestling, you know, at Fargo against a high school opponent, or I'm wrestling, you know, in a regional tournament, and they're getting the same results. It's unbelievable. I mean, that Welker McCoyed match was telltale, because Yelena McCoyed, you know, I've seen her wrestle a lot this year. You know, she's wrestled my daughter four times. Yelena kind of feels out her opponent. She starts controlling the tie. She breaks her opponent's position. And then she gets to her offense. And Welker just went out there and within 5 seconds shot on, did a single on McCoyed, transitioned to a leg lace, and got two turns. 6-0 in 30 seconds. And you're like, are you kidding me? And then I think at one point, I think McCoyed scored. I think Welker got it to 8-0. I think McCoyed scored, making it 8-2 or something like that. And at one point, they actually had it as a tech fall, 12-2, but McCoyed's corner challenged, and the call was overturned, and it put McCoyed back in the match. The final score was 11-4. You know, McCoyed did show some mettle, you know, by the end of the match. I honestly think that if Welker didn't score those first six, this match would have been a lot different story. But for whatever reason, you know, McCoyed just wasn't ready for what we've seen Welker and Blades do to everybody and just come out firing. because Welker got a quick six right there. But that's just how they've been wrestling. And then Welker goes out and does the same thing that Diamond Guilford. Beats her 8-0. Dominant. I mean, dominant match against a dominating wrestler like Guilford, who had beaten Victoria Francis in the previous two matches. So that put Welker in the Challenge Tournament Finals. And then she does it again and beats Victoria Francis. Unbelievable. And makes that final. Adeline Grace Parterre, I think, eclipsed how good Kylie Welker is in that final. But we saw how good she is in the Challenge Tournament. Amazing performance. Amazing performance. And again, you're talking about who's the future. Kylie Welker. She's right there. So Diamond Guilford goes back and makes that Victoria Francis. Okay, Victoria Francis fell to that true third match, and Diamond Guilford wrestled back to the true third match with a win over Yelena Makoyed, 9-6. That was a good match. And then Guilford, though she'd beaten and even dominated Victoria Francis at the Captain's Cup, and then beaten her 4-2 not long before that, she lost this one by fall. So Victoria Francis gets the number three spot. You know, the match that you want to win the most, she won that match, which has got to be a little frustrating for Guilford. But congrats to Victoria Francis getting that number three spot on the national team. Other performances, Precious Bell. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Jackie Catalan. My poor daughter Joy, the number six seed, draws number 12 seed Jackie Catalan, who was a two-time U.S. Open champion. And Joy gave her a really good match, 3-0. Joy almost scored in the end there. It was a good match. But Catalan early on looked like the Cinderella story here. You know, she pulled a quote-unquote upset, even though I think if Catalan wrestled at that weight class since last fall, I think Catalan would have been one of the top five seeds in this weight class. So Catalan beats Joy 3-0 and then goes on and faces Precious Bell. That match was wild. If you haven't seen that match, you should watch that match. 11-10, you know, one of the matches of the Challenge Tournament. Catalan comes back and wins it in the end, 11-10. Beautiful match, beautiful moment. And then Catalan faces Victoria Francis, loses 9-3 in the semis, and Catalan took off her shoes and retired. So congrats to Jackie Catalan on a great career. It's been a joy to watch you wrestle, and she had a really good performance at the Challenge Tournament. Forfeited out her matches on the backside again, as I said earlier, that put Makoyed into that match against Guilford. And by the way, because Welker beat Makoyed, so here you had Welker, the number 14 seed, you know, who ends up number two, beat Yelena Makoyed, the number five seed, and that's what actually sent Yelena Makoyed, the number five seed, back to the Consies to wrestle the number six seed, Joy Lewandowski. So you have the number five and number six seed losing to the quote-unquote number 14 and number 12. Tough draw. And they both end up facing each other in the Consies, and that was a rematch of the national finals, and it was the exact same result. Makoyed beat Lewandowski 12-2 to move on, and she faced Jordan Nelson. Nelson had a nice tournament. Jordan Nelson, the NAIA champion, had a win over Sydney Kimber, the NCAA 191 champion, 8-3, lost to Guilford, but Jordan Nelson then beat Mariah Harris before falling to Makoyed by fall in the Consies. So, you know, nice showing, two wins for Jordan Nelson on the backside. That was that tournament. Let me see, am I missing anything else here? Where's Nwankwo? Oh, there she is. Yeah, so Nwankwo, the NAIA champion. She did have a win over Mariah Harris, lost to Victoria Francis, and then Kimber beat Nwankwo. And then Bell won by injury default over Belts and the Consies, and then beat Kimber 10-0 before losing to Guilford again, 14-1. Bell beat Guilford in the 2019 Senior National Finals. But that was the last time she beat her. Guilford's won like the last three or four matches, and that in dominant fashion. So, but you know, Bell had a decent tournament, ended up making that, top six there. So, all in all, another good weight, a lot of good matches there. I think, you know, big story is Welker there. Congrats to her. You know, you'd have to say she's part of the future. And again, is she going to be a 76? Maybe eventually, but I think she bumped up to 76 from 68, probably to avoid her friend Kennedy Blades, So not sure where she's going to fall in national tournaments in the next year, but fantastic showing by her. What a great experience for her to be able to wrestle in the final, the championship finals of the Olympic team trials on NBC. So all in all, it was great to be there. Shout out to USA Wrestling, Taylor Miller, Jack Carnifex, Lauren Mason, those who made my experience, and I think the experience of all those who did media here, a great experience. They were very hospitable. They were very clear in their communication. They ran a very, on the media side, they ran a very professional, helpful event with a lot of communication. Great experience for me, and I think I can speak for all those that were in media row where I was. So that's it. So that's the Olympic Team Trials 2021 version. Some exciting days ahead as we get closer to the Olympics. You know, we've got the U23s and Junior Nationals coming up in May. Some other events coming up. So stay tuned right here. We'll keep you aware and in tune and in the know about things that are happening, and keep sharing storylines and telling the stories of these young women who are so deserving of coverage. So thanks for listening today. This was a long one. Let me see how I ended up. I ended up like an hour and 20 minutes or something. But thanks for listening. Hope you had as much fun as I did watching this event. Until next time, as we say around here, I am out. Thanks for listening to AWW Radio.